Hare Krishna, welcome everybody. I have a little difficulty reading the finer print, so I kindly asked Adikesha Prabhu to help me to read through this, and then we'll try to say something on the verse after that. Thank you.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, chapter 29, text 56, talks between Narada and King Prachinibari. Raja Vacha Shrutam Anvikshitam Brahman Bhagavanya Dabasata Neta Janati Upadhyaya Kim Nabruyur Viduryadi Raja Vacha Shrutam Anvikshitam Brahman Bhagavan Yadabhasata Neta Janati Upadhyaya Kim Nabruyur Viduryadi Raja Vacha Shrutam Anvikshitam Brahman Bhagavan Yadabhasata Neta Janati Upadhyaya Kim Nabruyur Viduryadi.
Word for word, Raja Vacha. The king said, Shrutam was heard, Anvikshitam was considered, Brahman, O Brahmana, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Yat, which, Abhasata, you have spoken, Na, not, Etad, this, Janati, do know. Upadhyaya, the teachers of fruitive activities. Kim, why? Nabruyuhu, they did not instruct. Vidu, they understood. Yadi, if. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The king replied, My dear Brahmana, whatever you have said, I have heard with great attention, and considering all of it, I have come to the conclusion that the acharyas, teachers, who engage me in fruitive activity did not know this confidential knowledge. If they were aware of it, why did they not explain it to me? Purport. Actually, the so-called teachers or leaders of material society do not really know the goal of life. They are described in Bhagavad Gita as Mayaya Aparitra Jnana. They appear to be very learned scholars, but actually the influence of the illusory energy has taken away their knowledge. Real knowledge means searching out Krishna. Vedesya Sarved Aham Eva Vedya. All Vedic knowledge is meant for searching out Krishna, because Krishna is the origin of everything. Janmadi asya yataha. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Aham adir hi devanam. I am the source of the demigods. Thus Krishna is the origin and the beginning of all demigods, including Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all the others. The Vedic ritualistic ceremonies are concerned with satisfying different demigods. But unless one is very advanced, he cannot understand that the original personality is Sri Krishna. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. After hearing the instructions of Narada, King Bharisman came to his senses. The real goal of life is to attain devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The king therefore decided to reject the so-called priestly orders that simply engaged their followers in the ritualistic ceremonies without giving effective instructions about the goal of life. At the present moment, the churches, temples, and mosques all over the world are not attracting people because foolish priests cannot elevate their followers to the platform of knowledge. Not being aware of the real goal of life, they simply keep their congregations in ignorance. Consequently, those who are well-educated have become uninterested in the ritualistic ceremonies. At the same time, they are not benefited with real knowledge. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore very important for the enlightenment of all classes. Following in the footsteps of Maharaj Bharisman, everyone should take advantage of this Krishna consciousness movement and abandon the stereotyped ritualistic ceremonies that go under the garb of so many religions. The Goswamis, from the very beginning, differed from the priestly class that was engaged in ritualistic ceremonies. Indeed, Srila Sanatana Goswami compiled his Hari Bhakti Vilas for the guidance of the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas, not caring for the lifeless activities of the priestly classes, take to full Krishna consciousness and become perfect in this very life. That is described in the previous verse as Paramahamsa Sharanam, taking shelter of the Paramahamsa, the liberated soul, and becoming successful in this life.
Vandeham Sri Guru Shivita Padakamalam, Sri Gurum Vaishnavanam Musta, Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakana Musta, Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Bevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So before we start, we were requested at short notice to try to do the class today, so we ask everybody's blessings to try to say something. This wonderful story has reached its climax in today's verse. This wonderful analogy we've been hearing about Puranjan and his activities, and how this great king, Prachinibhaishad, has learnt the greatest secret of life, the greatest goal of life. And he not only learnt it, he became convinced about it to the degree that just after this conversation, he takes to the renounced order and goes to the forest. So another job well done by Narada Muni, the great giver of bhakti. He has not only given us Bhakti Sutras, this wonderful book on devotion, but he's trying to bring everybody to the lotus feet of Krishna. This is his magnanimous position. So the present story, just to contextualize it a bit, is a nested conversation. It's within another conversation which is going on by Maitreya and Vidur. And the spiritual master of Maitreya, towards the end of this chapter, he explains that he heard this story of Puranjan from his spiritual master. Who is the guru of Maitreya Rishi? Parasramuni. Vyasadeva is his contemporary because Vyasadeva is the son of Parasamuni. So Vyasadeva and Maitreya are good friends. But again here we hear this wonderful description. So it must be an important story, right? It must be an important story for it to be passed down like this and for it to appear here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because it has great instruction. We've been hearing such deep information about the nature of this material world, about the natures that the bodies that we live in, male bodies, female bodies, how the whole attraction process goes on. So, and now the intention of all of that is to come to this point where Prachini Bhaishat is saying, my dear Brahman, O Narad, I have heard you and something has happened in my thought. Something has happened now where I'm realizing that all this that I have done in the past, thinking that it is actually dharmic, thinking that is actually religious, was actually not. And now that I've heard you speak and hearing what you have to say, I realize that I've been cheated. So I'm sure many of us had this experience before. For us to be sitting here, many of us might have had or followed a spiritual path, and then we've come to that point, same as this king, that I think this path is not taking me where I want to go, where I feel I want to go. You know, we have maybe been introduced to different yoga processes, maybe different forms of karma yoga, different forms of mystic yoga. And when we met the devotees, there's an amazing transformation that happens on a very, our inner compass sort of directs and says, hey, hold on, this kind of knowledge is not normal. This is very powerful knowledge. It doesn't seem to be what I've heard before. And the same experience this king is having here. It's a heart-moving process. It's a heart-moving experience. And you have no, you cannot explain it, but you know within yourself, this is right. This, what this person is saying, is so right. That's why the preacher, much of today's import of what Prabhupada is trying to say is that the quality of a teacher discriminates, makes the difference between a good disciple and not. Or somebody who reaches the proper goal or not. If you somehow land up in your, due to your karma, with a teacher that's encouraging you just only in the fruit of material activities, then how will you actually reach this ultimate goal of bhakti? So it's a very pertinent point to us as sadhikas to catch this. We see also the story is given in allegories. And this is a traditional form of writing, not only in Vedic scripture, but also in the biblical texts and in the Quran, Islamic texts. Also, there are many stories like this written, also called parables or allegories, which explain stories. Because somehow we as people, we get the message easier when it's explained in a story, because we can relate, because it has a human essence to it. It's a person having an experience, and therefore we easily relate to that. So it's important that allegories are given like this. So even the layman, a very simple person, has a chance to catch very deep philosophical thoughts. So it's the expertise of a preacher to be able to present like this and to be patient like this, just like Narad. Three times now he's explained this story. So it takes a tremendous amount of patience. So in our preaching field, when we're trying to help people, when we're trying to speak about Krishna, then this quality is needed of patience. To be patient with people, try to understand from what level they are, Try to reach them at that level. Try to reach them. So, what has happened in today's verse then is that the proverbial saying that King Prachinibhaishat has had a eureka moment. Anybody heard this saying? A eureka moment? Something went off and he's had some enlightenment. And he's feeling, this is just not what I usually heard from people that I thought would be able to teach me. So he had a very wonderful moment of enlightenment. We see even in Bhagavad Gita, in the 11th chapter, Arjuna also had this kind of a similar experience. At first he was speaking to Krishna as his friend. And then Krishna manifested his four-hand form, his universal form. And then Arjuna was completely bewildered. And then he understood the potency and power of Krishna. And then he asked, please show your chaturbhuj, your four-handed form. And then your soumya roop. Jai Radhe Shyam Krishna Balaram Gornitai Ki Jai. So, and then he asked for the two-handed, soumya roopa form. And then he became reflective that this form is the same form that I saw all the while. And I misunderstood that actually Krishna is the same person, just that he showed me his potency now. So Arjuna also had a similar experience. Now in today's verse, one of the very essential points that comes out in the translation, which we'll go through just now, and I'm going to give you a little test also, so that you keep it in your mind at least through today. So one of the essential points that comes out is thoughtfulness. To be thoughtful. To be thinking. This is a major aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam explains, gives us warnings in the forms of stories, warnings, and gives us arguments. Arguments in the sense of scholarly arguments, like you argue a point. And observe the point, and observe that person's point. So it's a deep point of reflectiveness, of thinking. So warnings in the form of the stories, so that we don't make the same mistake. Especially the first 9 cantos builds up to this point. So that when we get to the 10th canto, when we introduce to bhakti, then we can catch it in its completeness. Because we've understood Krishna's opulences. When it comes to devotion, then we can understand how this person, who is the most powerful entity in creation, can play like a little boy. You're not confused at that point then. So Bhagavatam does this, gives us an opportunity to become thoughtful. So we see here, the translation, Prabhupada explains, we're going to try to summarize it in a very simple way, so that through the day you become thoughtful of what we learnt in our class today. So if you just try to remember, on your left hand, HC, and on your right hand, WC. Not difficult, right? HC, WC. H stands for, C for conclusive. I've come to the conclusion. H stands for heard. I have heard. And on the right hand we have WC, W for why, and C for conclusion, confidential knowledge, right? So in essence the translation is saying, because you may not catch the whole translation word for word, but if you catch these 4 points, you've caught the translation. So at least reflect about it through the day. So what is the Prachinibhaishat saying? He gets a chance to speak here. And what is he saying? He's saying, O Brahman, I have heard you. H for heard. I have heard you and I've understood the conclusions of what you were saying. HC. And on the right hand, but what I'm confused about is why? W. Why did my teachers not give me this kind of confidential knowledge? Very simple. If you catch these four points, you've caught the essence of today's translation. Now let's go into the purport a little bit. So in essence, he's saying, I have heard you, a very essential feature. I have heard you, then I've understood thoughtfulness. I thought about what you're saying. And then I reflected, and now I'm asking a question then, why have my teachers not explained this to me? Why have they not? So he's expecting that they notice, because he's thinking that what Narada is explaining is just ordinary knowledge. No, it's not. Bhakti is not ordinary knowledge. That's why Prabhupada further continues. He starts off explaining the quality of a teacher and the importance of a teacher. The responsibility of a teacher. We heard a nice reading this morning from Saranga Thakur Prabhu about, anybody remembers what we heard this morning about guru and taking initiation? Yeah, President Prabhu? Yeah. Very nice. Very good. Yes, guru is the father figure and Gayatri is the mother figure. So guru is the father figure. It's a great responsibility. Therefore it's said in scripture, don't take this responsibility of teacher or guru if you cannot deliver. It's a great responsibility. And in here, Prachini Bhai Shat refers to Narada as, O Brahman. Brahman means the teacher. A Brahman, a Brahmanical person, one of the qualities that he has is teaching. He teaches, enlightens the society. So it's a major aspect of what a Brahman does. He teaches Vedic knowledge. But misdirected teacher is what we have in our... It's just using the propensity to teach and learn, but it's misdirected in our society today. So Prabhupada really goes onto that point strongly. So in the Gita, Krishna explains then what is the real knowledge. Because Prabhupada says that real knowledge means to search for Krishna. Very eloquent, very essential, very concise way he explains. Real knowledge means what? It means to search for Krishna. Very, very concise way of explaining, but very profound. Now how do we do that? Where do we know where to do that? That's Prachini Bhaisat's situation right now. So in Gita, Krishna explains this point. In the 9th chapter, he explains this knowledge, Raja Vidya. Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pradyaksha Agamam Dharmam Susukam Kartam Avyayam. That this knowledge is, you can be perceived by direct sense perception through realization. And it's the perfection of religion. It can be perceived directly. How? Through realizing. Through the Eureka moment. Exactly what happened to Prachini Bhaisat here. But you can only get this knowledge from a devotee. If a devotee explains it, because he's situated in that spiritual consciousness, in that dimension, then when he's speaking, what he's speaking, he's being transmitted through him. He's like a ventriloquist. You know what's a ventriloquist? It's like a puppet. Somebody has a puppet in his hand and he's speaking but without moving his mouth. And it seems like the puppet is alive. But it's somebody else speaking through him. So a devotee wants to be this via medium. He just prays to Krishna, just use me. Namitra matrena bhava savya sachin. Just use me as your instrument, Krishna. And whoever I can meet, let me try to do exactly what Narada is doing here. So this verse is explaining two points. One, that this knowledge can be perceived. How? Through realization. And secondly, it's the perfection of religion. That's why towards the end of Gita, Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Parichaja, abandon all these religious practices. And the beginning of Bhagavatam, Dharma Projita Ketavatra Paramarma Nirmatsaranam Satam. This abandon all these forms of religion, all cheating religions, cheating forms of spirituality. We've had many experiences with this, right? That's how fortunately we've come to Krishna consciousness, knowing it as the real religion, the perfection of religion. But not everybody gets this chance. It's very, very rare to get an opportunity like this. Prachini Bhaishat was engaged in fruitive activity. And Prabhupada stresses on this point. What is the value of fruitive activity? What will you reach in its ultimate sense? You'll reach the heavenly planets. What will you get there? You'll get some form of enjoyment, but you have to come back. It's suffering, but it's suffering through piety. Because of your pious activities, you're not suffering there, but you're suffering because you have to come back. You're not out of this world yet, out of the clutches of Maya. So even piety can create suffering in its ultimate sense. So Devamrit Maharaj gives a very nice example about this heavens, you know, heavenly planets. We are aspiring to go to heavenly planets, right? So if you ask somebody, where is heaven? What do they usually say? Where would they usually point? Upwards, right? So if this is a round ball, right? And if I'm standing here and I point upwards, which way is upwards? That way. Now the interesting about the world is, Maharaj was saying that if India is here, America is here. So if you're standing here and you're pointing upwards, heaven is there, right? But if you stand here and you point, which way is heaven then? It's down. So be careful about heaven, you know, all the promises about it. You may end up going down to Patala Loka, you know. So Maharaj gives this point that what is the value of it at the end of the day? If you're standing, whether you're standing in India or whether you're standing in America, the value of it is that you have to come back here after that. And we don't want to do that. And that's Narad's intention also. He doesn't want him to come back here. Go back, king. And he takes his advice at the end of the chapter. Prabhupada makes another valuable point, that the reality, the real goal of life, this is a real treasure. Prabhupada says the real goal of life is to engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the real goal of life. We are practicing that right now. We are not in the perfected state. Some of us maybe, but most of us are practicing that. But that in essence is the real goal of life. Everything else that comes are just subsidiaries to that point. And if they cannot assist that point, there is no value in it. That's what Narada is saying here. That's why he gave so much of description about the body, about the different forms of bodies, about attraction in this material world. If there's no value in it, use it to what you can use. Even as devotees, we don't really require the body. But because we have it, our process is to use it in Krishna's service. But ultimately, it's part of this material world. How can it actually give us that ultimate situate us in that ultimate situation that we want to be in, that we're not in right now. So that consciousness change must happen. Prachini Bhaishat, so he's having this experience and he's learning and he's wanting to change his life. This is another important point, the desire to change. So the real goal of life is to engage in devotional service. And we see even this speaker here, Narad, he also didn't get this opportunity. He got it from where? From the Bhaktivedantas. Within 4 months, he got his perfection. Dhruva Maharaj, within 6 months, he got his perfection. So if a great personality can convey like this, one would be very fortunate to receive. We see the example recently, even of our dear devotee, Ananta Shanti Prabhu from Russia. He was the first disciple of Prabhupada in Russia, right? And Prabhupada just preached to him in 3 days. And in 3 days, Prabhupada was able to convince him of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And from one person, what happened? The whole Russian yatra has come. This is the power of bhakti. When it's transmitted from a pure source, a pure person, it's immediately transforming. We see even in our capacities, we don't have the perfection of bhakti yet. But when we speaking and preaching to people, don't you see that exchange in them, that they feel like they can hear you and they experiencing that this is a little different knowledge, isn't it? So in our condition stage, we can try to help people. Can you imagine the perfection stage, how amazing it must be? So we want to try to take one more point. Let's try to see if we can analyze by logic and reasoning how that the soul is possible to have these three qualities of Satchitananda. Because we say it all the time in our, this is what we are promised in scripture, right? If we connect with that eternal realm, then that realm is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. It's all the things we're hankering for. So if we just try to apply a little logic, we see that no living entity wants to die. Is that a fact? No living entity wants to die. Even if you have a little a dog or a rat or a cat, if you try to threaten it, it begins to scream, cry. Because it feels that you're going to kill me. Why is it doing that? Because it doesn't want to die. It wants to live eternally. It wants to live eternally. So where does this desire come from? If our bodies are just made of matter, as our scientist friends tell us, then where does this desire come from across all bodies of life? Even a plant. A plant doesn't want to, it will try to, even if you destroy it, it will try to regrow itself. Where does this desire come from? It comes from the nature of Sat, to be eternal. Second point, chit, knowledge. We see that we're always inquiring about things. Atato brahma jigyasa. This is human form, starts from this point. We're always trying to inquire. So we have such a thirst for knowledge and inquiry that we feel we've conquered the material nature. And we even going intergalactic, intercosmic. We're trying to understand other planets and other forms of life. So where does that desire come from? If matter doesn't have this, if we are just matter by nature, where does this desire come from? Right? So Sat and Chit. Now Ananda, everybody will agree we are searching for love and happiness. No living entity can live without this. Even animal trainers know this trick. In order to train an animal like a lion or a tiger or an elephant, you can only train it if it wants to please you. You can give it some food, but it feels the reciprocation to please you. That's why it acts in a circus. That's why a tiger jumps and does all tricks and everything. Because it simply wants to please. It simply wants to please the master. That's all. Otherwise, it won't do all these things. You know, a tiger is not going to be satisfied with a little piece of food. It needs a whole lot of food to be satisfied. So why is it doing it? Because it wants to please. And that's where it gets its happiness from. So you get happiness by sacrificing personal pleasure. That's the real secret of happiness. Happiness is not found in an object itself. Happiness is a byproduct. It is not a product. It's a byproduct of something. And what is that? Of sacrifice. Genuine happiness comes from sacrifice. We're going to speak a bit about that just now. So we cover these 3 points then, right? That every living entity has a desire to live. No living entity wants to die. Every living entity wants to be in search of knowledge. Everything that we are, we've learnt from childhood, right? Everything that you know, you've learnt from childhood. So it's an accumulation of knowledge and happiness. So these three things, Satchitananda, where does it come from? Let a scientist try to explain that. Where does it come from? It's coming from the soul. Otherwise, matter doesn't have these qualities. So it's very easy to understand then, to engage in devotional service. That if we have these qualities, that means if we are in a conditioned state now, then in a liberated state, these qualities are what our true nature is about. And in a liberated state, or in a perfected state, this is the way we are. This is the way we act. We act in a realm of eternality. We act in a realm of knowledge. And we act in a realm of complete happiness or bliss. So it's not difficult to correlate it and see that actually it makes a bit of sense. So it's important to catch these points. If we're not convinced about these points, why will we be convinced about devotional service? Because devotional service, because it said it's the goal of our life. But if you're not convinced about these points, then why will you be convinced to do these activities? Because it just seems like what somebody else is doing in another, what a Mayavadi is doing in another temple, we are doing the same thing here, right? We're worshipping a deity, we are listening to some form of Vedic knowledge, according to, in a generic sense. So what's the difference? Devotional service is not just an activity. It's a mentality. It needs a proper mentality. Otherwise, you'll be engaging, you'll be doing things. But if the mentality is not fixed on this Satchitananda nature, the last time we were trying to give such a detailed account of how we're not this body and the human form. So if we convince that we only exist in this human feature, then we'll miss that nature. And we see very practically that we can identify with this nature, right? Because it's the strongest form of identification that we have. When we sleep, we identify with that nature. And we have to be reminded when we get up, I am here, I'm in Vrindavan, I have to do this and that. So we identify with that nature in sleep. So it's very obvious that we have two realities that we're living in our immediate experience. Now this is the third reality, the spiritual reality of Satchitananda. If we can identify with that, as the Shastra is saying, as the scripture is saying, as Narada is saying to Prachini Bhaishat, then we can experience these qualities that are being said here. Of this, how wonderful it will be to be eternal. How wonderful it will be to be full of knowledge. How wonderful it will be to be always happy. And the great devotees of the Lord, they are in this state. Therefore, if we connect to that, that latent dormant nature of the soul, of Satchitananda, it gets ignited. And therefore we have a startling reality, this eureka moment. Hey, what is this? I've never heard like this before. I've never experienced like this before. You remember the first time you tasted Mahaprasad? You never tasted Mahaprasad. what a taste it was like. The first time you heard kirtan, the first time you chanted, the first time you met the devotees, it was probably the most profound moments of your life. And it's for every devotee's life. Even Narada Muni, when he met the Bhaktivedantas. Even great personality. Even we see Krishna Prachini Bhaisad having that moment now. So the real goal of life is to engage in devotional service. Value this. We cannot put, the material nature cannot give us this eternal existence, because itself is structured on an unstable nature. We see the material nature is not stable. At any moment it changes. We see what happened in Uttarakhand. At any moment, we see even just 2 weeks ago, on the 21st of June, there was a huge fire in Indonesia, and the smoke from this fire was so great that it traveled all the way to Singapore, and it blacked out, it smoked out the whole of the major parts of Singapore to the degree that it's a red alert zone. People have to use masks to breathe there. So any moment nature can change. Any moment, it's just like that, on the turn of a dime, as they say. So we cannot put trust in something impermanent. That's not knowledge. Real knowledge is to know what is spirit, what is matter, and who is the controller of both. And that is what lesson Prachini Baishad is getting here. Krishna. Now the last part, or the penultimate part of what we want to say today, quickly, we just want to discuss one of the last powerful points Prabhupada makes in the purport. Prabhupada says there that unless one is an advanced devotee, one cannot understand the personality of Godhead, the original personality of Godhead. Which personality of Godhead? Original personality of Godhead. Who is the original personality of Godhead? Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajame. Even us as devotees, we take this point a little lightly, because we're living in Vrindavan. It's quite, we begin to become contempt with the idea of Krishna being here. But how rare it is to understand the original personality. Because even this name Krishna is not spoken out of this place, Vrindavan. The name Krishna has no meaning without Vrindavan. The name Krishna cannot exist without the place of Vrindavan, because he is this person, the Supreme Personality. He is this Krishna because of this place, because of Braj. Because here is where he loses all his identities that he has to keep up as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here he loses all these designations. He even loses his post as the Supreme Person. He's not the Supreme Person here. Now to understand this kind of a concept, you know, we are familiar with it as devotees. But if you are preaching this to somebody for the first time, it's a little difficult to catch. How is it that the Supreme, and people have difficulty with this, right? How is it the Supreme Person is playing like a small child? He has no shoes. He who has all our opulence has no shoes. He's carrying his father's shoes on his head. He's given up all his identifications of Godhead. Here, he's completely free to be who he wants to be. Now, if we want to enter into that realm, we have to learn how to be in that kind of an environment. That's what the whole Bhagavatam is teaching us. It's bringing us to that point of saying, wouldn't you like to be in this environment where you give up your human designation, give up your subtle designation that you experience in dreams, give up your, even on a spiritual level, given your Brahman concept, give up Paramatma concept, then Bhagavan aspect, even Bhagavan aspect. Krishna is not, Krishna is too Bhagavan, Swayam. But in Braj, he's serving. He's playing. Here he's being served and he is serving. So if we just from this story, we can see, we can, like Prabhupada is saying here, unless one is an advanced devotee, what is this advanced devotee? It's one who has received this knowledge of bhakti. So Braj in itself is not an easy thing to just understand, although we live here, to understand Krishna's feature as Krishna. It's not so easy. It's not easy. We don't want to take it sentimentally. We want to really understand it with realization. That is the perfection of religion. Otherwise, we are just performing karma kanda. It's connected to Krishna, fine. But where's our mentality in it? Where's our intention in it? The intention, this is where the higher level, even for, I didn't even start to speak about Chaitanya Charitamrita yet. Where the highest goal is to be the servant of the servant. Gopi Bharta Kamalayo Dasa Dasa Anudas. That's Mahaprabhu, that's what he's come to give. So by the time we understand that, can you imagine how far we still have to go before we can actually serve in that relationship? Because face it, believe it or not, at every moment we're surrendering to someone. Every moment of life we're surrendering to someone, something. Either nature, either our authorities, but someone we're surrendering, we're obliged, we're obligated to someone. Why not let that someone be Krishna? Why not let that someone be somebody who will reciprocate with us completely and connect us to our eternal constitution? We want to also, we have this opportunity of King Prachini Baishat. But if our mentality is not fixed on trying to serve in a spiritual mood, in a spiritual mode, then we lose the opportunity. We will lose the, although we have such, we have the greatest acharya of this age as our teacher. Many people are not so fortunate, like Prachini Baishat. We have somebody who is offering para bhakti, the topmost bhakti, who has sacrificed everything at the age of 69 started, coming to the West. Who's 69 years old here? Bhakti Choru Maharaj one time told some devotees, he said, can you understand what Prabhupada has done for us? And then devotees said, yeah, Prabhupada, yes, yes, Prabhupada has given us so many books, he's made, created wonderful temples. And Maharaj says, no. And again he said, can you understand what Prabhupada has done for us? And then they said, now they're a little confused because it's not a theoretical question anymore. It's not like a yes-no question. And then they said, well, Maharaj, we can't understand. He says, yes, you can't understand till you reach 69 years old. Yeah. Because at 69, your body is breaking down. Right now, our bodies are breaking down. How many doing hot oil treatment? Right now our bodies are breaking down. In front of us, while we're living in it, it's breaking down. We've many of us are like in up to coming close to mid-life, mid-age, 30s, 25, 30s. You'd probably live to like 60. So how much of time is left? How much of time is left to align our internal compass to the proper mentality? We'll miss this chance. We have the chance of to experience the spiritual dimension. It's just the change of consciousness. But it takes so much of effort to keep it there. That's why we only chant 2 hours in a day, right? But the rest 22 hours is a preparation for that 2 hours of chanting. All the service we're doing, all the activities we're doing, it's a preparation to prep us for that moment when we take the beads, for the moment when we are trying to remember Krishna. Krishna, now I have nothing else to distract me. Otherwise, everywhere we turn, there's distractions for everyone. Life is designed like that, to distract. So if we align our, at least at that time, for that 2 hours, transcend the body. Therefore, as pujaris, we do this bhuta sudhi before we start puja. I am not this body, and it's a beautiful prayer. Try to learn it. You can even implement it before you're chanting. And then break yourself away from this material, the bodily experience. Then on a subtle level, I have to still transcend that body also. And then when I can just hear the Krishna Maha Mantra for what it is, when I can just hear the power of the Maha Mantra for what it is, just to hear it, that's all we have to do. Don't have to try to think about anything else. Just hear, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Just keep on trying to hear it. Just continue trying to hear it. Each time we try to chant it, it's connecting us to that realm that we're just hankering for. We all want it. We're all trying for it. And we will get it through the mercy of such devotees like the Narad Muni, Srila Prabhupada. We have it, but it'll be a shame if we lose it. We don't want to reach an old age in life where we start to regret. Why didn't I do it when I was that age? Why didn't I put that little extra effort? Materialists tell you this. A materialist cannot do enough to gain enough money. So let's use the same propensity to try to achieve this perfection and come to this point of Prachini Bhaishat, like as he's experienced. And we'll have a wonderful experience. We can go back to Godhead, live eternally with Krishna, serve him to our full heart's content without any upadis to distract us anymore. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anybody would like to ask anything? I don't know if we have the mic around, or is it a little late? We're at 9:05. If anybody has the mic. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for class. I want ask you, there are more points here. One of points is a little bit joking point. Do you think that all of us here in the audience, we have only 16 years? Do you think that all members of audience here, we have only 16 years, each of us?
We only have 16 years. Oh, we have to think
that we, all of us, we have only 16 years age?
Oh, we have to think that we are only 16 years of age. Oh, we have to think like that. Do I think like that? Well, you're thinking like that, so...
Do you think that all of us here, we have only 16 years, not more, so long?
So, 16 years. For this lifetime, you mean? Or you mean
presently.
It... Presently.
And tomorrow also. And in future also. Okay. I can do one another question.
Okay.
I can ask when we preach to the newcomers, to the persons to whom we have to preach, when we say we are not human being, normally we are superior than human being. Then if we said we are Satchitananda, if we go in a long explanation what we are, Satchitananda sounds a little bit impersonal, you know. We are Satchitananda, he's newcomers. So it's missing Vigraha. So do you think that it is better to tell them we are superior nature?
Yes.
Then, and our home is not where human beings are staying. Our home is where that divine persons are staying. That is also divine, completely different, much more beautiful than this one. So please give one. This is with question mark.
Yes, that's a nice question. Prabhupada would very simply start, you are not this body. So when you're preaching to someone, try to start on that platform. Because not everybody has knowledge of this information, that you're not this body. Prabhupada would even speak to school children, and he'd say, show me your hand, Show me your nose, show me your ears, and then show me you. And then the school child would point to the chest. Say, no, that's your chest. Where is you? So even at that elementary level, you can preach you are not this body. And we know that we have our bodies continually changing. You can explain that part. So if we're not the body and we remember and we experience all these experiences, then what are we then? What are we? We're something that, like I said, the Satchitananda, we're something that has a desire to live eternally. We have a desire for knowledge and we have a desire for happiness. And then you can explain that this in the Vedic scripture is described as, this Satchitananda is Vedic terminology. But don't you have these desires? And you say, yes. Don't you center your life around these desires, predominant three? Yes. So if you have these desires, where does this come from? Where is the source of this kind of a desire? If matter is inert, how come it has this desire if you think you're just this body? So you can preach in that way and encourage people like that. So human form is very rare. You can explain like this. And you know, we can also understand practically, just to get human form, just think about it, you know, in today's world, do you know what is infanticide? Infanticide is the killing of children within the womb, killing of a child. Now, the rate of it, especially in India, due to especially female infanticide, is so high due to dowry. Because of the dowry thing, they're killing the children. They're killing children. And in the West, of course, due to illicit activity, people are having abortions. So if human birth, so think about it. Do you think human birth is so easy to get? You're being killed like that. What is the chance that you'll get a human birth again? We guarantee this as devotional practitioners, we will get a human birth. But for the others out there, what is the chance they'll get human birth if mothers are killing children in their wombs like this? It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be, don't think it's so easy just to get a human birth. And then if you do get the human birth, what is the chance of you understanding what we discussed today? How much of lifetime, how much of energy it takes? You know how much of energy it takes to bring you to where you are today. How much of effort it took in your sadhana and with other devotees cultivating and helping us to come to where we are today. So how much it takes to develop the spiritual knowledge. And at that, the time is ticking. Chandra Deha and Kalakanya, we heard about this in this pastime. Time and old age, it's ticking just like that. So how much of time, like maybe that's what Brajananda Prabhu was saying about the 16 years. How much of time we have left? If we're just going to keep our mindset on this form, continually acting and reacting on this form, through this form, then will we actually achieve that highest? The acharyas want to give it to us. Krishna wants to give it to us. But if we're not wanting to put that extra effort, we are putting effort, but we need that extra effort, then we'll fall short. So it's important to value human life. You know how valuable human life is. When you value human life, you will value the opportunities you've been given. That's being grateful. When you're being grateful, you become satisfied. Simple things will satisfy you. When you're satisfied, you can think about things like this on higher levels of consciousness. When you practice higher levels of consciousness, you can come to the level of Satchitananda. When you come to level of Satchitananda, you can understand what this position of Krishna. When you understand Krishna's position in realization, like 9.2 is saying, with realization, then that is the perfection of your spiritual practice. That is perfection of religion. And we can serve Krishna in that way. That's what we do eternally. This is not what we do eternally. Okay, anybody else? I think time is going a bit. Okay, so we'll stop then. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanande. Hari Hari Bol.